This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, this is now the 24th lesson in Surah Tafsir, in the Tafsir of Surah Yusuf عليه السلام. And we've got to the part of the story where there's been like this very epic monumental pardoning given by Yusuf alayhi salam to his brothers. The brothers have come, and after three visits to Egypt, now Yusuf alayhi salam reveals that he's not just the Aziz, but it's actually him. Ana Yusuf. I am Yusuf. And they feel very guilty finding out that this is their brother, thinking about all the harm they've done to him. And what do you know? Yusuf alayhi salam finds it in his heart to say, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Today, after this, no blame on you guys whatsoever. Meaning, I'm going to forgive you, and also we're going to forget whatever happened. I'm not going to make mention of it ever again. And in that pardoning, okay, there's a number of lessons that we learnt as well. First of all, you know that the Prophet ﷺ, when he conquered Makkah, at the head of an army of 10,000, the likes of which the whole of Arabia had never seen before. They'd never seen an army of 10,000 before. When he came to those people who had kicked him out and had abused him, he said, we will say what Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. No blame on you whatsoever today. Meaning he gave a general amnesty, a general pardoning to all the people of Makkah, following in the tradition of Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, to be able to forgive someone who hates you that much, or hated you once upon a time that much, and envied you so much, you have to have a big heart, isn't it? And that's one of the things that we're being taught, that great people, they don't hold grudges against others. They don't hold rancor towards another person. Doesn't matter what they've done, at the end of the day, my heart is big enough to get rid of feelings like this bitterness and grudge. Some people naturally have this, that they don't hold grudges. Other people hold grudges very, very quickly. Yeah, we should be like Yusuf alayhi salam and let things go. Yeah, especially when the person who's done this is now sorry for what they did. However big that must have been, let them go. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. So that's one thing. The other thing is that, subhanAllah, you would have thought that in that position of now being superior to his brothers, and the brothers coming to him, you know, as beggars, that he might have felt full of himself. You know, I might have felt like, look, I'm the one who's the victorious one after all. You know, I'm the one who has the last laugh, as they say. But no, Yusuf al-Islam wasn't like that. The fact that Allah made him victorious only made him more humble. You know, and subhanAllah, that's the same thing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he conquered Makkah. Entered, you know, sitting on that horse, head of a 10,000 strong army, he entered how? With his head bowed down like this. A sign of utter humility. That Allah, you have blessed me to become the supreme one in the eyes of people, but that only makes me more humble before you. You know, and that's another amazing thing. That if someone is given prestige over others, and that only serves to make them more humble. So that's the part of the story where we have got to now. Now that he's forgiven his brothers, he now is going to conclude the whole reunion. The whole plan is now going to come to a completion. So let's recite these part of the verse we're covering today, inshallah. Verse number 93 to 98, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اذهبوا بقميصي هذا فألقوه على وجه أبي يأتي بصيرا وأتوني بأهلكم أجمعين وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ فَلَمَّا أَن جَاءَ البشير ألقاه على وجهه فارتد بصيرا قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون قالوا يا أبانا استغفر لنا ذنوبنا إنا كنا خاطئين قال سوف أستغفر لكم ربي إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.
Okay, Jazakallah khair. Yusuf alayhi salam, after forgiving his brothers and the brothers expressing their guilt and their sorry, now he says, "Idhabu bi qamisi hada." Now go back, meaning go from here, Egypt, back to Palestine, once again. Bi qamisi, with my qamis. The qamis mentioned now for the third and last time. He says, take this shirt of mine and cast it over the face of my father. Now, what is interesting is, as you know, the shirt is mentioned three times. The shirt, once upon a time, was the shirt of Yusuf brought back to his dad with blood on it. And that, incidentally, caused his father to go blind. Yeah, because the grief that, you know, enveloped him for all those years, وَبَيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ, made his eyes go white. In the middle also, the qamis of Yusuf alayhi salam makes an appearance, and that is the qamis when it is torn from the back by the crazy lady, right? Now in the first instance, the qamis is causing like a type of death to dad, right? You know, I see this bloodied shirt of my son, I know that he's not dead, but I don't know what's happened to him. And that kills him, you know, pains him. In the second scenario, the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam kind of gives him life, you know, because it frees him from the accusation. That when they see his shirt torn from the back, not from the front, they know who's the guilty party, you know. So it kind of frees him, gives him life, meaning gives him innocence. The third time round again, his qamis is being a source of life for dad. Because when that qamis will go back to dad in the hands of the brothers, it will bring his sight back to life again. Yeah. The only difference is the third time round, Yusuf alayhi salam is actually giving his qamis away. As for the first two times, then he was robbed of it by his brothers. And the second time, well, you know, is torn off him by the Imra'at al-Aziz. Third time he said, look, I'm going to give you my shirt now, okay? No one's going to take my shirt. طيب, so he says, اِذْهَبُوا بِقَمِيسِ هَذَا فَأَلْقُوهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ أَبِيهِ يَأْتِي بَصِيرًا and cast it over the face of my father, يَأْتِ بَصِيرًا, and he'll become seeing once again. He'll become seeing once again. Sa'di rahimahullah mentioned a nice point. He said, you know, this teaches us that diseases often the cure is the opposite. Because here, Allah Jalla wa'ala is telling us that though the shirt, once upon a time, when it came to dad bloodied, caused the disease of chronic grief, huzn, the same shirt, but now in a more beautiful, you know, presentation, will also be the cure of the same disease it caused. Okay? Allah a'lam. But regardless whether it is this or that, it is a miracle of Allah that He inspired Yusuf alayhi salam to know that if you send your shirt back to dad, then he will get the scent from you, and that will uplift his spirit so much so that his eyesight will return. Ibn Ashur Rahman mentioned another interesting point. He said, it was like he's sending a coded message to dad. You know, like you have Morse code, you know, when you lost that seat and you send Morse code to whoever's on land, they can interpret what's going on through this code. In the same way, Ibn Ashur said, by sending his own shirt back to dad, he's sending a message to dad, which is, I'm alive and I'm well. Because if you think about it, it's impossible for the brothers to create the scent of Yusuf alayhi salam, isn't it? It's impossible for anyone to do that. So he knows that dad will, you know, dad loves me so much. He knows my scent. He will remember my scent. And if he just manages to smell it, he'll know that I'm alive and I'm well. So it's kind of a very intelligent, smart thing for Yusuf alayhi salam to do. You can imagine, obviously, dad, he's seeing that the sons are changing, but you know, once someone is bitten once and twice shy, right? So he's not sure. Yusuf alayhi salam is going to show dad they're being truthful and honest. This is my shirt, and you can tell now that I am really alive. So it's like a coded message. And then he says, "Wa'tuni bi ahlikum ajma'in." Then Yusuf alayhi salam says to his brothers, "Now go back with my shirt. Do this to dad. And then I want you all now to come back to me, jami'a." Meaning, I want all of you to come back to Egypt. I want mum and dad to come back to Egypt. I want all the cousins, uncles, everyone. You don't need to live in the in the deserts of Palestine anymore. You can come to, if you like, first world Egypt, okay, and live here. I'll grant you all visas to live here. Yeah, you'll have a place to stay in Misr now. So all of you now come back to me. And if you see that the whole plan of Yusuf alayhi salam is to get the family reunited, including his brothers, it shows us that how important it is to keep strong ties with family, and how much, you know, having good relations with mum, dad, brothers, sisters, cousins is important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For he inspired Yusuf with a fantastic plan just to achieve this one objective, to get a reunion of the family. You know, and it shows us that, you know, keeping strong ties with the family is an extremely important thing. Now, Allah Jalla wa Ala then says, وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ. The moment where the caravan of the brothers departs from Egypt, at that same time, thousands of kilometers away in Palestine, Ya'qub alayhi salam sitting there, he gets a scent of Yusuf alayhi salam. Fasala, from Fusul. Fusul means to something is connected to something and then it separates out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the moment that Ya'qub got a scent of Yusuf alayhi salam isn't when they were entering into Palestine, no. It was the moment that they departed from Egypt. Like, they're so far away, it's impossible for anyone to be able to smell something from that distance. But Allah, in a miraculous way, wanted Ya'qub to get the scent of his son Yusuf alayhi salam. And that was just when the caravan left Egypt. Just when it leaves, then he manages to get a scent. And what does he say when he gets that scent? He says, "Inni." You can imagine that Ya'qub alayhi salam, he's sitting there, and around him are some other friends and family, relatives, people from the village. He says, "Inni, indeed I, la ajidu, la muf tawkeed, ajidu, I really and truly can feel or find the scent of Yusuf." Now you can just imagine, I mean, if someone said that, and all you know is that Yusuf has gone and died long time ago, and you're going to think you're crazy. What do you mean you can smell the scent of your long lost son? So Ya'qub alayhi salam can see, like, they're all rolling their eyes like, "Oh my God, what is he talking about? He's gone crazy." So he says, "Lawla an tufannidun." Even if you think that I've gone crazy. Tufannidun, the mufnid, is a very interesting word. Al-Asma'i, he said, it is when someone talks a lot because of old age. You know, like some people, when they become very old, they start blabbering on a bit. You know, you find this, no? That old people, they like to talk a lot, right? And sometimes when they talk, they don't really make sense either. Yeah, so Asma'i said that when someone talks a lot because of old age, they become a mufnid. So Ya'qub is saying, I know you're thinking, this crazy old man talking rubbish to himself, isn't it? Yeah, I know. But you know what? La'ajidu riha Yusuf. I certainly, without a shadow of a doubt, I can scent it. I can smell his scent. What is interesting is that he doesn't say, I can smell the rih of Yusuf. He says, I find the scent of Yusuf. Why do you think he doesn't say, I can smell the scent of Yusuf? Instead he says, I can find, or I've found the scent of Yusuf. Anyone hazard a guess as to why they think, Allah didn't say that I smell scent of Yusuf, I found the scent of Yusuf. Ali, yes. Okay, and?
Okay.
So it's similar to what Ali's saying. You're saying that he's found Yusuf, as in like, he knows where Yusuf alayhi salam is, or he knows he's going to find
him. He knew all along he's going to find him.
Or he had hope that he's going to one day come. Maybe. But mashallah, Ali, mashallah, you got it, akhi. Mashallah, tabarakallah. Fadl. Ajidu riha Yusuf means that I have found Yusuf, meaning I know where he is now. He's alive, and I also know he's in Egypt. Yeah, and that is how I have found the scent of Yusuf, and not just smelt it. It means ajidu, I know where he is now. I know that he's safe, and I know where he is. And maybe also that, you know, I know that now, very soon around the corner, I will once again see my son. And subhanAllah, the fact that Ya'qub alayhi salam knows the scent of his son, it shows us the incredible love that he had for his son, isn't it? Like, he's so close to his son that even after 40, 50 years, when he gets a scent of his son, he knows who that belongs to. Yeah. So it just shows how close Ya'qub alayhi salam was to his children, in particular Yusuf alayhi salam. Lola and Dufanidun, even if you guys think that, you know, I'm going crazy. No, that's not true. One interesting thing here also as well, that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests His slaves. And with every hardship, there is ease, right? Every hardship comes ease. But the amazing thing is the way the ease comes. You know, the way the ease comes, sometimes you can never imagine that ease will come from this source. Yeah, from this source or in this way. In the same way, Ya'qub alayhi salam, he had hope that Allah would return his son to him. But he could never imagine how that was going to happen. Isn't it? It's so unbelievable. The way your son is going to be brought back to you, firstly, you're going to get the scent of your son. And that scent is going to tell you where he is and that he's okay. And he's going to come, he's not going to come to you, you're going to go to him. And who's going to take you to him? Those very children that tried to kill him. Like, you would never imagine that. You know, and it reminds me of the verse where Allah Jalla wa'ala says that وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, then Allah will make for him a way out. And وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever places their trust in Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice him. Yeah, will suffice him. So, when the people hear Ya'qub say that he's just found the scent of his son, Yusuf alayhi salam, they say, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ. By Allah, إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. Indeed you are in misguidance al-qadim, from long, long time ago. Meaning that you're not misguided like, you know, you're spiritually misguided. No. You're misguided in that you're mistaken. Ibn Atiyah said, it doesn't mean like you're spiritually misguided. It means that you're mistaken, al-qadim, from long time ago. Meaning, you've been in this sorry state ever since the day that he was kidnapped. You know, that's what we think. We see you, unfortunately, this whole thing has made you go crazy. And you've been crazy from all the way back then. So they're still criticizing him. Yeah, they still don't believe him. But then the moment comes where the brothers return back to Palestine. فَلَمَّا أَنْ جَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ أَلْقَاهُ عَلَى وَجِهِهِ فَارْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا. But when the bringer of good news came. Now, again, one of the sons, one of the brothers is going to be identified. Allah identifies this brother now as being al-Bashir. Al-Bashir means bringer of good news, the one who's going to congratulate. فَلَمَّا. So eventually, when all the brothers come back to Egypt, come back to Palestine. One of them, okay, he's kind of going ahead of everyone else. He wants to be the first one to tell dad the good news, the Bashir. He wants to be the Bashir, Mubashir. The way Allah Jalla wa'ala says he came is falamma an ja. The an here is to give extra emphasis, as if Allah Jalla wa'ala is telling us that what happens now after he comes and tells dad the news is quite unbelievable. But for sure, it actually did happen the way I'm going to tell you. فَلَمَّا أَنْ جَاءَ. When he came, and not أَتَى, Ja'a, ata, we said the difference is that ja'a has the meaning of juhud, you know, struggling, striving. So this one son out of all of them, he's more keen to get to dad before anybody else. Which son do you think would be more keen to come to dad and tell him the good news than anybody else? What do you think, brothers over there? Are you discussing the answer to the question? Yes. Excellent, ahsant, mashallah, tabarakallah. Yes, the one who brought back the bloodied shirt in the first place. He's the one who broke the bad news, the supposed bad news to dad, first time round. So he feels more responsible, or more eager rather, to come and tell dad the good news. Yeah, many mufassirun said this, that al-Bashir here was the one who initially brought the shirt in the first place. He's more eager to try and clean the slate. So, فَلَمَّا أَنْ جَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ أَلْقَاهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ. So when he comes back, he doesn't even say anything to dad. The first thing he does, he casts the shirt over the face of his dad. فَارْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا. And إِرْتَدَّ means to return back to the original state. So Yaqub became blind, but he wasn't blind all the time. He was perfectly fine once upon a time. So when the shirt was cast over his face, he returned back to the way he was before. Basira, seeing. Then, now the scene is set. He sees his sons. He sees all those people that were just mocking him, saying, "You crazy old man, talking rubbish to yourself." What did he say to them? قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ. Didn't I tell you? All these years, what have I been saying? Inni a'lamu min Allahi ma la ta'lamun. I know something from Allah that you don't know. Meaning you doubted my trust in Allah. You doubted my conviction in Allah. You doubted that things would turn around in the end. You doubted, you hesitated. What was I saying all along? Subhanallah. Yani Allah gave him the opportunity to prove himself. His reputation, if you like, was doubted by people. But Allah showed, no, you were on the truth. And I will show everybody else that you were on the truth. You know? And it just subhanAllah shows that, yani, the conviction of Ya'qub al-Islam. A person is a human being. You may feel something is right. And you know it's right because Allah has shown you through his religion, through Islam, through Quran and the Sunnah. But people always mock at you. People doubt you, you know. Sound familiar? Isn't that the kind of times that we live in? The things, the traditions that we have. Segregation, niqab, hijab, everything. Halal meat. And people always mock. People always say, "You guys don't know what you're talking about." And then we say, either you say, "Maybe we don't know what we're talking about. Unfortunately, let's go revisit the whole of Islam," which some people do. Or you go to the other side, which is, one day you will see. One day you will see that what we were saying was right. Maybe Allah, out of His mercy, will show you before you die. And that's what we hope. But if you don't see it before you die, believe me, on the other side, you will see that, you know what, we should have listened to these people. Yeah, we should have listened to these people. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, shows a miracle. Ibn Kathir says a miracle was granted to Ya'qub alayhi salam, that his eyesight was returned. When his eyesight returned, he said to those people, "Didn't I tell you that I knew something from Allah that you didn't know?" Perhaps possibly a reference here to the dream that he was shown once upon a time through his son Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, some analysis, brothers. You have to really think about this, okay? When Yusuf alayhi salam revealed his identity to the brothers, they were shocked and they said, "Innaka anta Yusuf, are you really Yusuf?" He said, "Yes, I'm Yusuf." And then after that, he says, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Yaghfiru Allahu lakum. No blame on you whatsoever today, and I'm asking Allah to forgive you." They didn't ask Yusuf to forgive them. Notice that. They didn't ask him. They were guilty and sorry, but Yusuf al-Islam didn't even give them an opportunity to ask. He just forgave them there and then. Now they're going to come to dad, and they're going to ask dad for forgiveness. They're going to actually ask dad for forgiveness. So they have to ask dad, where they never had to ask Yusuf. And the way dad responds, is he doesn't say, "I forgive you." He says, "Sawfa astaghfiru lakum." I'm going to forgive you in the distant future. at some point in time, I will forgive you. One day, I'll forgive you. So he doesn't say, I forgive you, even though Yusuf alayhi salam said, I forgive you. He says, I'm going to forgive you sometime in the future. The question is going to be, why did Ya'qub alayhi salam delay seeking forgiveness for his children? Where Yusuf alayhi salam forgave immediately. Okay, keep that question in mind. So verse number 97, when the brothers, okay, have come back to dad, and dad, they've cast the shirt over dad's face, and his eyesight has returned. They then begin to plead with dad. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَ اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Oh, our father, forgive us for our ذُنُوب, our sins. Notice that the plural is being used, not ذَنْب, but ذُنُوب, meaning we've done many things wrong, dad. We've done wrong to you by depriving you of your son Yusuf. We've done wrong to Yusuf alayhi salam by throwing him in the well. And we've done wrong in so many other places in our lives as well. Forgive us for all of those sins. Inna kunna khata'een. Indeed, we were of those that were mistaken. Mistaken meaning here, sinful. Yeah, sinful. Now, there's a couple of interesting things you learn about Tawbah here. One of them is that if you want Allah to forgive you, then one key, or one condition rather, of Tawbah is that a person needs to acknowledge his sin first and foremost. He needs to say sorry from the heart. Yani. And I remember just recently I had a bit of a grievance at work. Okay, one of my managers, he said something to me and I thought that's not right. So I raised a grievance against him. And then we were sitting there and there was a senior person there. He was doing this mediation. So that manager of mine, he said, look, you know, I said this, I did this, and you know, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do. And then I said, yeah, so you admitted that you were wrong. He said, it wasn't the best thing to do. And then the boss said, yeah, so he's apologized now. I said, that's not an apology. What do you mean that's not an apology? I said, that's not an apology. Is at best, that's a begrudging apology. It's not, it doesn't mean it. Yeah, and it's clear from the way he's saying it doesn't mean it. So then he goes, okay, listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. I said, okay, that's fine. Now we can move on. So even on a human level, you can appreciate, yani, if someone wants you to forgive them, they've got to say sorry from the heart, right? It's not like some mystical thing that, oh, if you do 1, 2, and 3, bang, tawbah is going to happen. Yani, think about it just from the aql that Allah gave you. You come to Allah, forgive me. The first thing is you need to come to Allah guilty. Allah is, seriously, I feel like I've done wrong. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, that when a slave, اعترف بذنبه, when he acknowledges his sins, ثم تاب, then he turns to Allah, تاب الله عليه, then Allah in turn turns to him. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. So the Prophet told us that, look, if a person wants to make tawbah to Allah, first he needs to acknowledge his sin. Meaning he's saying, ya Allah, I'm sorry, I missed my fajr. And I'm sorry. Honestly, I'm sorry. Genuinely, I'm sorry for doing that. Please forgive me. Okay, now you have a chance of having that tawbah accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us for our sins. So they came to dad and they were sorry. It's clear that they're sorry. They say, اغفر لنا ذنوبنا. They say, yes, forgive us our sins. إنا كنا خاطئين. Indeed, without a shadow of a doubt, we were mistaken. You know, we were mistaken sinners. So it's clear that they are guilty, they feel remorseful, and they come into dad. The other thing it teaches us, that if you want someone to forgive you because you've done something wrong to them, then you have to ask them. You can't just say, Allah forgive me for the sin I've done to this other person. This other person, I got into a fight with him, I called him bad names, okay, and I said a few things behind his back as well. Allah forgive me. It doesn't matter how sincere you are, the fact is that this person has been wronged by you. If you want that to be forgiven, you need to ask that person. And the Prophet explained this in another authentic hadith, that if a person wrongs another, then he needs to ask him to let go of that. And if he doesn't, and on Yawm al-Qiyamah will happen, then either some of your good deeds will be given to this person, or some of the sins of that person will be given, subhanAllah, to you. Because on that day there is no dirham and dinar, Prophet said. There's no dirham and dinar, there's no way of you striking a deal with that person to get forgiveness. No, it's just your good deeds now. Either the person will be given, you'll be taken, yani take some of your good deeds, or some of his sins will be heaped on top of you. Okay? So they ask genuinely for forgiveness. And also they asked Dad himself. They didn't ask Allah to forgive them, because they know that if you wrong someone, you need to ask that person in particular to forgive you. Okay. Now what does Dad respond by saying? He says, قَالَ سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. He said, I will ask forgiveness for you from my Lord. قَالَ سَوْفَ. سَوْفَ, okay, is to push the meaning into the future. There's a difference between seen and sofa. سَأَسْتَغْفِرْ and سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرْ. Seen means to do something in the near future. Sofa is in the distant future. Okay, so he says, I'm going to forgive you, or I'll ask Allah to forgive you. Not right now. Some way down the line, I'll do that. Now, why? Why did Yaqub alayhi salam, why didn't he just forgive them straight away? He then says, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And indeed, Allah, He is Al-Ghafoor, the most forgiving, Al-Rahim, the most compassionate, the most merciful. So this is the question now, my brothers. How comes Ya'qub alayhi salam doesn't forgive his sons, or ask Allah to forgive his sons straight away? Why does he delay tawbah? Why does he delay, istighfar for his sons? Why? There must be a reason behind it, right? If you compare that to Yusuf alayhi salam, who just said straight away, oh, I'm asking Allah to forgive you, then Dad, he doesn't say that straight away. He says, I'm going to, down the line, ask God to forgive you. Get into pairs and discuss, inshallah. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to think about this. Your time starts now, and after you discuss, I will ask you, what do you think? Time starts now, brothers. Let's go, you guys there, what do you think? Okay. Jazakallah khair. That's a good point. So the brother said that if Dad, said, I forgive you straight away, then, let's look at it the other way. If Dad says, look, I'll forgive you down the line, then it's going to play on their minds and they're going to keep them in check, isn't it? What you're saying? Keep them in check. That, look, Dad hasn't forgiven us yet, so just don't, start behaving badly again. Let's think about this properly, Okay, possibly. On the other side there, brothers, on the other side, what do you think? Interesting. So he wants to see Yusuf before he forgives them. Why? One second. No, he hasn't said anything. What do you think? Why? Why does he want to see Yusuf before he says, okay, now Allah forgive you, I've forgiven you? No, he knows he's still alive. إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ. I know that he's alive. Okay, so you're saying he has to wait to see whether Yusuf forgives them first, before he can forgive them. Okay, staying on that point, why do you think that's the case, that he wants to see first that the sons has forgiven him before he forgives them? Why? Why is that conditional? Nah, Ahsan, very good. The fact is that, like I said before, if you see someone come and slap this person on the face, you can't say, I forgive you, brother. Brother, you just slapped him on the face, man. How can you forgive him? He's done nothing to you, he's done wrong to me. How can you forgive him for doing something to me? Yeah? So, Ya'qub alayhi salam, he's saying that you want me to forgive you. I can forgive you the things you've done to me, but a complete forgiveness, what you've done to Yusuf, I can't forgive on behalf of Yusuf until I see that he has forgiven you too. Sawfa astaghfiru lakum. So soon. When I see that, I'll forgive. Very good. Any other points? There's some other points. He wants to see Yusuf before he gives. Okay, but why though? Why does he want to see Yusuf? He's keep on thinking about him, he wants to see him. But why is that going to stop him from saying, okay, I'll forgive you? Okay, mashallah, tabarakallah. This is another good point, that the fact is they've wronged Ya'qub and Yusuf. How did they wrong? Well, they kidnapped Yusuf and basically took him away from dad. So if you want me to forgive you for doing that, then you need to bring him back to me. Isn't it? You need to reunite us back together again. Yeah, and subhanAllah, this is very true. When you wrong someone, then if you can't, you know, you don't have the courage to go up and say, look, sister, you know, the other day I defamed you on Twitter, you know, and it was really bad of me to do that, you know, and I'm really sorry about that. If you don't even got the courage to do that much, then you need to look at it from another perspective, which is that they have a right that they do not be dishonored by you. That's their right. Yeah, I have a right to that, that people don't dishonor me. Now, if you did dishonor me, you took away my right. Now, either you can ask me to forgive you for taking that right from me, or you can go to plan or second option, which is restore my honor. How do you restore someone's honor? Well, similarly, you write another, you know, a Twitter, you tweet, okay, something fantastic about the same sister. Okay, so what, yesterday you defamed her, but today you kind of restored, you know, that reputation by saying those things that you said. So the main thing is the haqq of the person. You took it. Either you can say, please forgive me for that, or you can go about it yourself to try and restore it. And on a person, if they're trying to restore the person's honor that they destroyed or took away, then they need to make doubly sure that they've done enough to restore that honor. Otherwise, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will definitely regret. Does that make sense? Do you understand it like that? So you took someone's right away, either you ask him to forgive you for taking the right away, or you try and recompense and compensate. You know, it's kind of like what you get in the press. You know, they defame someone, call them a radical preacher, and then the so-called radical preacher takes him to court, and what do you know, on page 34, right at the bottom, and what we said about the so-called radical preacher is not very true. Turns out to be a nice guy. Yeah, on page 34, but the defamation happened on page 1. So is that really a true compensation? Yes. That they restored his honor. Yeah, you could say that they did restore his honor by saying the statement that, you know, we don't know anything wrong whatsoever. Meaning, this thing he didn't do wrong, and to be honest, he's never put a foot wrong in his life. You know, they're kind of trying to restore his honor. Allah, maybe you could say that. Tayyip, anything else? Some of the other scholars mentioned that sawfa astaghfir, I'm going to forgive you, not right now, was said because Ya'qub alayhi salam was seeking out the best time to ask Allah to forgive them. You know, one of the times, blessed times of asking, making dua is the sahar time, which is the time just before fajr, last third of the night. We know this. Or another blessed time, they said, on the night of Jum'ah, so Thursday night, I'm going to wait until Thursday night to ask Allah, because that's the time where dua is more readily acceptable. You know, so Al-Qasimi, rahimahullah, said, this teaches us that a person should seek out the best times to ask Allah to make dua. Just like Ya'qub sought out the best time to ask Allah to forgive his sons. These are some times, other times, for example, is between the adhan and the iqamah, and then the sa'ah. On Yawm al-Jum'ah, it's that time, according to many scholars, before the Maghrib Salah comes in. Tayyib, there's other times of asking Allah, making dua as well, like in the last part of the Salah as well, in the Sujood, etc., etc. So, a person making dua to Allah, you should seek out the best times to make that dua. Tayyib, this brings us to the end of this dars. Subhanakallah wa hamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk.